ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यभावमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। क्षेत्रक्षेत्रज्ञविभागयोगो नाम त्रयोदशोऽध्यायः। सो इन् दिस् 13th चाप्टर् द टैटल् Kshetra Kshetrajya Vibhaga Yoga, we have completed that topic of values. Then Arjuna's question is still again answered. He wanted to know Kshetram Kshetrajnaha Prakriti, Purusha. This question that these six words were there. Jnanam, Jnayam, Purusha, Prakriti, Kshetrajnaha, Kshetram. There we understood Kshetram, Prakriti mean the same. So Purushaha, Kshetrajnaha, Jnayam mean the same. Who is Purushaha? The all-pervasive reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, is Purusha. So the word Purushaha actually, the truth of the individual, which is the truth of the whole alone, is implied by the term Purushaha. It is the same Purusha, is there enjoying the status of being the knower, Kshetrajnaha. Who is a Kshetrajnaha? There is no Kshetrajnaha other than Atma. There is no Kshetrajnaha, there is no knower other than this Purusha. Purusha alone enjoys this qualification of being the knower. Even though consciousness is not the knower, enjoying the status of being the knower is consciousness only. The knower is consciousness, but consciousness is not the knower. Therefore, the Kshetrajnaha, the knower of the Kshetram, the knower of all fields of experience is none other than this Atma, Purushaha. Therefore, we have Purushaha, it's the same. Purushaha and Kshetrajnaha. And Jnayam, ultimately, what is that which is to be understood by all of us? What is it which is to be understood, arrived at, as a result of which one can discover one's freedom? What is to be finally known is a jnayam. What is that by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? What is that by knowing which one can claim one's moksha, which is already there as one's own nature? That jnayam is also same Purushaha. So jnayam, Purushaha, Kshetrajnaha mean the same. Now we are discussing, now Krishna is discussing the nature of that jnayam only. The jnaya vastu, the reality to be known, is jnayam, Purusha. So we have seen until verse number
5. Bahirantascha bhutanam acharam charamevacha.
In all these verses, beautiful verses where Bhagavan only presents the reality, he talks about the reality in terms of its nature as the truth which is to be known. Jnayam means that which is to be known. The jnayam is the truth. The truth is implied by the terms Purushaha and Kshetrajnaha.
Bahirantascha bhutanam acharam charamevacha sukshmatvat tad vigneyam durast
Tanchanti kechatati. Has seen the meaning of this verse already. That reality, divastu, that which is to be known to attain moksha is one's own self. Very truth of the knower. That is why which is, that truth is inside, is outside. The truth does not have inside and outside, but the truth is inside and outside of everything. The truth thus is of the nature of motionlessness, but it is there as the non-living, immobile beings, also living mobile beings. Truth is the subtlest. There's nothing subtler than the truth. Therefore, it is never an object of knowledge. And that truth, if it is discovered, it is the nearest self. If it is unknown, it is non-reachably far. You have seen that. We have to move on to the new verse, today's verse, 17th verse.
Avibhaktancha bhuteshu vibhaktamiva chasthitam avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktamiva chasthitam bhutabhartru cha tajneyam grasishnu prabhavishnu cha avibhaktancha bhuteshu vibhaktamiva chasthitam bhutabhartrucha tadjneyam grasishnu prabhavishnucha.
It's a continuation of the same topic. It's not something new. What we, Bhagavan has been discussing, the continuation of the same topic. What is that? Absolute reality, ultimate truth, which alone is said to be Brahman in the Veda, Brahman, which alone is said to be the Atma, which is said to be the subtlest of everything. The subtlest abstract reality of the whole. That without which there cannot be I, there cannot be you, there cannot be knower, there cannot be thinker, there cannot be known, there cannot be knowledge also. It is that because of which the knower, known, knowledge, everything is possible. That reality is discussed again, which is one's own real nature. Shastram repeatedly says, you have to place your essence only in this reality. It is this reality which you should identify yourself with. Unless and until you discover this, you identify yourself with this reality, there's no way of being free, seeing yourself being free. Having identity with the gross physical body, having identity with the coming and arriving departing thoughts, having identity with these emotions which just keep on coming and going. How is it possible for a person to be free? It is natural for a person to be afflicted, to be offended, to be hurt, to be subject to guilt and hurt and to be suffering. Shastam says Shastram bluntly says, unless and until a person sees the fact of the content of I being this awareness, consciousness, there's no way of being free. So Krishna now continues the nature of reality in this verse also. He says, bhuteshu avibhaktam cha vibhaktam ivacha sthitam. Very interesting verse. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktam ivacha sthitam. Bhuta bhartru grasishnu prabhavishnu cha tatigyeyam. He says, this gnayam, what is to be known is the truth. How is this truth here? He says, first of all, avibhakta means that which is not divided, undivided. Vibhaktam means divided. It's a participle. No, vibhajati is the verb, isn't it? Vibhajati. And it means divides. Vibhaktam means divided. But what about consciousness? This pure consciousness is avibhaktam, undivided. It is undivided, indivisible, partless whole. But how does it look? It looks as though divided. Avibhaktancha, vibhaktam iva bhuteshu. In all of us, we say, now we're all so many physical forms. Human forms are so many. And other living creature forms are so many. So this, already we have seen, bahirantascha bhutanam. This reality as consciousness is inside and outside of all the beings. Therefore, because of our ignorance of what this reality is, because of the ignorance of how this reality is essentially one undivided, indivisible, partless whole, how does it look? It looks as though divided. Vibhaktam ivachasthitam. Avibhaktam maybe, avibhaktancha, vibhaktam ivasthitam. It remains as though it is divided. How? When you see yourself as your body, mind, and complex, then it looks as though this awareness is divided between you and me, between you and others, between the things, so many beings. It looks as though this consciousness is divided. Exactly like wherever you go, the whole space is one indivisible, undivided, partless whole space. But the houses, the big house, small house, all the houses on the roads and both sides of the roads seem to be dividing the space. When you see somewhere, see, stand away far from a place and see all the houses in rows on both sides of the roads. It looks as though the space is divided. Doesn't it look? Even when you see the houses, the space does look divided. Avibhaktancha, avibhaktaha cha akashaha, vibhaktam ivacha sthitam, sthitaha. The space, even though it's indivisible, undivided, it looks as though it is divided when you see so many rows of houses in the space. Huge buildings, tall buildings, and small buildings, you see so many buildings. It looks, because of all these enclosures, big buildings, tall buildings, small houses, big houses, when all of them are there, and it looks as though it is divided. Really speaking, all the buildings exist in the space. The space accommodates all these huge buildings, small buildings, all the buildings. The buildings which stand in space makes the space look as though it is divided. Really speaking, space is indivisible, partless, whole. And the same way, it's a grossest example given in the Shastra. It's not my own example. Shastra example this is. Now if we take the only vastu which cannot be objectified is this consciousness. So anything objectified, you negate as mithya. Mithya, anatma, matter, material product. So non-objectifiable alone is the consciousness, non-material. Non-material, the intangible, subtlest vastu is that which is available as the very swarupam of the subject of experience, consciousness. So consciousness is the subtlest, and consciousness also is undivided, indivisible, but it looks as though divided, being available for recognition as the truth of I obtaining in every individual mind. See, consciousness is available for recognition where? Only in the mind. As what? As the very truth of I. I, where is this I? I is a cognition obtaining in every antahkanam. In every individual mind, I sense is available. So consciousness is available for recognition as the truth of the I in every mind. Therefore, because of its availability for recognition in the mind, this consciousness, though it is undivided, indivisible, partless whole, it seems to be divided. It looks as though it is divided. In fact, it is undivided. How do we know? Let us take only the space. The other than space, everything else exists in space. So leave alone time. If you of the entire objective universe, two things are the subtlest things, time and space. So time, leave the time. Space also exists in time. Space is subject to time limitation. So time itself is subject to time limitation. So space itself is object of knowledge. Please take it. How to understand this? Space itself is object of knowledge. And space is the most accommodative, all accommodative of all elements and the elementals. Nothing exists outside of space. If space is object of knowledge, which is subtler than what? You must remember here. If space is object of knowledge or not, first thing must be very clear. Is space an object of knowledge or not? You all can understand, isn't it? Easy. Space is object of knowledge. If space is object of knowledge, which is subtler? Knowledge of the space or space? Between the two, which is subtler? Knowledge of space is subtler than space, isn't it? Therefore, knowledge pervades the space. Now tell me, if the knowledge of space is subtler than space, the knower of knowledge must be subtler than knowledge or not? Knower, isn't it? Knower, because of whose presence knowledge is possible, that knower is subtler than the knowledge. Known space is subtlest of all the known, okay? So space is subtlest, and the knowledge of space is subtler than space, and the knower of the space is much subtler than the knowledge. And who is that knower? Who is that knower? The knower is only a qualification. There is no knower other than pure consciousness. If you see, you know you are your self-evident person, and you also know you are the knower. You are knower. And that knower, if you distinguish that knower from the known, that knower, if you ask who this knower is, you can blindly say, closing your eyes, you can say, knower is consciousness. Consciousness is not the knower, but there's knower is definitely consciousness. When you say knower is consciousness, you're saying, I am consciousness. I, the knower, am consciousness. Then you're resolving I sense and the knower's qualification in consciousness, which means it is like exactly saying, when you say wave is water, you're resolving wave form in cognitively in water. So also you're resolving the knower, I, the knower status and I sense in consciousness. That consciousness is the subtlest. Therefore, consciousness pervades the knower. Consciousness pervades the known. Consciousness pervades means there's no knower other than consciousness. So consciousness pervades even the space. There's nothing subtler than space. If space itself, you can see logically, using your own buddhi, you can see how space is indivisible, partless whole. If space example is clear, and imagine the knower of space is much subtler, and that is consciousness pervades even the space. Therefore, consciousness is indivisible, undivided, partless whole. But still, it looks as though divided because it is available for recognition only in the mind. If it is available for recognition object somewhere, then it probably wouldn't have been there. It is available for recognition only as the truth of I. Therefore, it seems as though it is inside, as though it is, that's why people say, see within, people say, all this meditation, people say, they see within. Within means within whom? You can't see within yourself because you are consciousness. So Swamiji used to say, consciousness is neither not outside nor inside, not within, not without. It's very you. It's not inside of you, not outside of you. You are consciousness. Therefore, even though it is one undivided, indivisible, partless whole. That's why desha kala vastu aparichinnam vastu. That is why we repeatedly say time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. There's nothing which is not in and through pervaded by consciousness. But still, it seems to be divided only because of its availability for recognition only in the mind as the truth of I. So, avibhaktancha bhuteshu vibhaktam iva sthitam. Okay, next sentence. And what is his consciousness? He says, bhuta bhartruta tadnyayam grasishnu prabhavishnu cha. The three words are here. Prabhavishnu, grasishnu, bhuta bhartru. Prabhavishnu means, we all know the word Vishnu. We are worshipping Bhagavan Vishnu. Vishnu itself means Vyapnoti Sarvamiti Vishnu. So all pervasive. Reality is of nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore we invoke Bhagavan as the Vishnu means all pervasive. The word Vishnu implies the nature of reality. But when you add this prefix pra and bha, okay, now it's not Vishnu. It is Prabhavishnu. It is from the root bhu and pra is the prefix. Prabhavati. Prabhavati means comes into existence, originates. Prabhavishnu means the source of origination, creation. For what? For everything. The source of origination of time factor, the source of origination of space, the source of origination of all living, non-living, mobile, immobile actions, experiences, the whole jagat. When you use the term jagat, it is easy because it's very difficult to say and enumerate. To give you the list of things what we have to know. The whole, all that is here, the entire objective universe comes into existence from this reality consciousness. What does it mean? Comes into existence from reality means the universe does not have existence at all independently without this consciousness. See, we are living in this world as part of this world. And with our body, mind, and complex, we see things as we have, we see it is I, this is you. We see the divisions, all these differences are all mithya. Where do they exist? Where do they come from? Which means the whole jagat comes into existence from this consciousness. Why it is said? Because there is a time the whole universe, the entire objective universe, including the I sense. Please make a note. Is it too noisy for you? Are you disturbed or noise? I am disturbed. I let me close my door. Give me 1 second. I'll close my door because the waves are so huge and tides are very huge. 1 second. So Prabhavishnuhu means the source of origination of everything. So why you should say when there is a time, the whole jagat becomes unmanifest. Unmanifest means what? It's not available for recognition, not available for interaction, transaction. To understand this, you have to know, remember your own deep sleep state. The whole jagat does disappear, doesn't it? The whole jagat disappears or not for you? Is it available for you to experience all the time? See, Bhagavan himself forcefully grabs the world from us. Isn't it? Bhagavan grabs the universe. How? Not by doing anything. That's by using his own power. That is how the power of reality is. The power of reality is such that there is a time everything disappears. That is how the power is. Do we have any say over it? We have no say. When a somnambulist cannot help, that's the time the Jagat will disappear. Which means the Jagat disappears means the Jagat exists, but you are not allowed to experience the Jagat. The Jagat doesn't go anything, anywhere. When this universe is not available for experience, interaction, enjoyment, then we say the world is unmanifest, it is undifferentiated. And the same world, which is there, it doesn't go anywhere. The whole time is space, everything which is there, when it is not available for recognition, experience, enjoyment, objectification, the world is as good as non-existent. The existence of the world is dependent on its being available for your experience. Therefore, we say what? That unmanifest, undifferentiated universe, again it is available for experience and experience. We say that it's as though universe is coming into existence. The world which is already there, always there, without coming and going. The world doesn't come and go anywhere. The world exactly as it is. But when this world, which is there already, suddenly it is not that you don't go anywhere. The world becomes unmanifest, undifferentiated. It's not available for experience. That world, again, it is available for experience and enjoyment. How? Again, because of the power of reality. Because it's power of reality, then there's a manifestation. Then, so what happens? The reality, the power of reality, when it is unmanifest, the world is as well as non-existent. The power of knowledge, when it is manifest, world is available for experience. Therefore, the world is always there, but experienceability of the world, recognizability of the enjoyment of the world is purely dependent on the manifestation of the power of reality. If the power of reality is not manifest, world disappears. The power of reality is manifest, world is available for experience. Therefore, the experienceability, existence of the world is dependent on its experienceability. Experienceability is dependent on manifestation of the power of reality. Manifestation of the power of reality is dependent on the very reality, the source of the power, which is consciousness. Therefore, it is said what? The whole Jagat comes into existence from reality, and the whole world exists also in reality, and the whole world again, it becomes unmanifest also, it resolves only in Brahma. The world does not go any distance from where it is. It exists whether it is available for experience or not. It exists only in consciousness. Unmanifest and manifest, differentiated, undifferentiated. Universe exists only in consciousness. That is made very clear here. Therefore, it is said, Prabhavishnuhu, it is this Gaya Vastu, the Vastu which is to be known, the Purushaha, the Kshetrajnaha, is the Prabhavishnuhu, the creator of the universe. The creator is a name given to, qualification attributed to the reality because it is the source of origination of the universe. Then Grasishnuhu. Grasishnuhu means that which engulfs the whole Jagat means what? The source of dissolution also is the same. That is why we can say it is not destroyed. It is resolved. World remains unmanifest. So, Grasishnuhu is source of dissolution, resolution. Not only that, Bhuta Bhartru. So the creator is Bhagavan, the creator is this sustainer. And also Prabhavishnuhu, Grasishnuhu, Bhuta Bhartru. Bhuta Bhartru means sustainer. Bhutani Bharati iti Bhartru. The sustainer, supporter of the whole Jagat is same Atma. Therefore, the creator, sustainer, the one in whom everything resolves, the resolver. These are all qualifications attributed to the only reality, Atma. From the standpoint of the Jagat becoming manifest and unmanifest. The qualifications. Is it clear? All these three words show what? The universe is non-different from the truth. Inseparable, non-separate from the truth. The whole cosmos is inseparable, non-separate from the truth. All the Upanishads repeatedly state the same thing. Universe is non-different from Bhagavan. And when you look at this reality as manifest, then you give the qualification as Ishvara. Bhagavan is a qualification attributed to the truth. Therefore, the creator, sustainer, resolver is also qualifications attributed to the same reality, which means the universe is non-different from Bhagavan, non-different from the truth, which means the whole Jagat is Bhagavan. That is the idea. See, here you have to make a note. Bhagavan and the universe are non-separate, inseparable. When you say that, you are resolving, you are intellectually, cognitively, you are resolving the matter in consciousness. You are equating matter to consciousness. Don't forget that.
Bhuta bhartrucha tajneyam grasishnu prabhavishnucha.
So tatjneyam. That is what is the jnayam vastu. Okay, move on to the next verse.
Jyotishamapi tajyotihi. Jyotishamapi tajyotihi. Tamasav paramuchyate.
So beautiful verses. Every verse only reveals the nature of the reality.
Jyotishamapi tajyotihi tamasav paramuchyate. Jnanam jneyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishthitam. Jnanam jneyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishthitam. Jyotishamapi tajyotihi tamasav paramuchyate. Jnanam jneyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishthitam.
Okay, now it is said, it is the same jneya vastu, the reality to be discovered, which alone is said to be Purushaha, which alone is the Kshetrajnaha, in the form of Kshetrajnaha, as the knower of the Kshetram, is what? Jyotishamapi tajyotihi. Jyotishamapi tajyotihi. The word Jyotihi is a neuter gender word. Jyotihi means light. Even though many girls are called Jyoti, the word Jyoti is somehow, it's a neuter gender word. So Jyotihi, Jyotihi effulgence, Jyotihi means light. Is light consciousness? Consciousness is not the light. Please make a note. Having heard this word Jyotihi, many people say that in meditation they see the light. Because they heard this such an expressions. But the reality is always implied by the term Jyoti. Jyoti, also the word implying the reality, doesn't indicate. Jyotihi is one of the words revealing reality. So Jyotihi means light. That's all. So why reality is said to be the light? It is said to be the light because light is that which illumines things. Light is that which is self-effulgent. You need, light is something which does not need to be illuminated. It does not dependent on any other light to come to light. light is always self-effulgent. And light is that which brings to light other things around it. Light is that which is capable of illuminating, bringing things to light. So here, Jyotishamapita Jyotihi. So light of the lights. Jyotish is light. Jyotisham, Jyotish. Jyotisham apita jyotihi. The truth is the light of all the lights. Why? In our understanding, light means, first of all, we only think of sun. We think of moon. We think of stars. We think of fire. These are all the lights for us. The sources of light. Because these are the lights. They are self-effulgent, self-revealing. Because sun, we don't need other light to see whether the sun is there or not. Swayam Jyoti. Every light is a Swayam Jyoti. Every light shines by itself. Don't need a light. Opaque things are dependent on light to come to light. But what about the light? The light is a source of light. It shines by itself. So sun, Suryaha, Chandraha, Nakshatrani, Agnihi. These are all sources of light we know. Because in the presence of or any one of these lights, you can include also electricity, electric light. In these presence of the lights, opaque things come to light. So we call it light. But our Shastram says, apart from these external sources of light, all these so-called external sources of light are dependent on our eyes. Because if the eyes are not there, any external source of light is as good as non-existent. External source of light does not have the capacity to reveal its presence by itself. If you cannot see, if my eyes are blind or I have problem with my eyes, light is as good as non-existent for me. So even though the light is a great light in the presence of which the whole world of opaque things can be seen, these external sources of light are dependent on my seeing power to come to light. For a blind person, sun doesn't exist. Moon doesn't exist. No light is useful for a blind person. Which means, in the so-called source of light also, any number of sources of light, all of them are definitely, choicelessly are dependent on your seeing power. Therefore, from the standpoint of the opaque things alone, the sources of light are light. The standpoint of your own seeing power. Your seeing power is the light which illumines the light. Isn't it? Your seeing power is the light of the external sources of light, which lights up the other lights. Now the seeing power also is dependent on what? Mind. Because if the mind is resolved, seeing power cannot function independently without being backed by the mind. Suppose in deep sleep state, when the mind becomes passive, mind becomes non-functional, you cannot see. Do you see in deep sleep state? Why you cannot see? You have seeing power. In deep sleep state also you have sleeping. Your seeing power is very much there. But still, your seeing power does not function as seeing power in sleep. You don't see anything in sleep. You don't see the external world in sleep. Why? Because sense powers are non-functional. Your sense powers are non-functional. They're all resolved. Why sense power cannot function independently? No, it cannot function independently. It needs to be backed up by an active, functional mind. When the mind is functional, active, when the thoughts are there, when the mind backs up the sense organ alone, sense organs are functional. Therefore, it is dependent, even the seeing power is dependent on the mind to function. Therefore, mind is still, from the standpoint of the seeing power, we say what? Mind is the light which lights up the power, light of seeing power. Light of seeing power is the light which lights up the external sources of light. Finally, mind also is what? Mind becomes passive, mind becomes active. When the mind is active, there is knowledge of self-existence, there's knowledge of the self, knowledge of the existence of the world, then the thoughts are there, emotions are there, the world is experienced. The mind becomes passive. The world becomes as well as non-existent. Nothing is seen. No object is seen in deep sleep state. Mind is non-functional. But even when the mind is non-functional, when the mind is as passive, even then what is there? There's something else which is distinct from the mind, which is aware of the mind being non-functional. That is you. You are there. You have to distinguish yourself from the mind and see, you are very much there. You are very much there knowing the mind, your own mind being non-functional, passive, inactive. Thereby the sense organs being non-functional, thereby nothing being experienced. The experiencelessness is the state of the mind, and which is known, which is experienced. Nobody can deny that when the mind was totally passive, non-functional, when nothing existed for me, I was not there. Tell me. I don't want to do too much of this explanation for this. In deep sleep state, mind is non-functional and passive. You are there or not in sleep. Tell me. Of course, you do not know you are in sleep. That is a different problem. It's a different thing. You cannot know you are in sleep. But are you there or not in sleep? If you are not there, you wouldn't have come back. The very fact you are now because you were before. Isn't it? Therefore, that you who were there when the mind was non-functional, passive, inactive, all the thoughts were resolved without even your own knowledge of your own existence, without knowing the existence of the world, when everything resolved, everything was undivided, undifferentiated, unmanifest, you alone were there. And that you who were there in sleep, being aware of nothing being there, that you, what can you say? Formless, abstract, the pure consciousness. And do you need any light to know your existence? And aren't you self-evident? If you know you are the proof for your existence. You are self-evident. Whereas the whole jagat, you are the evidence for the whole jagat. Your sense organs are evident. Mind is evident for the whole jagat. And you are the evidence. For your mind, for the evidence for the whole world, and you are self-evident. Therefore, Jyotishamapitta Jyotihi, Shastam says, consciousness is not the light, but consciousness is what? And there is no greater light than consciousness. The light of all the lights is consciousness. Consciousness is not the light, but the light of all the lights, the absolute light, which illumines everything by its mere presence, not by doing anything, not by moving, not by dancing, not by making any efforts, by mere presence brings to light everything else, lends existence for the mind and sense organs on the entire world. Therefore, we say, Jyotishapita Jyotihi, light of the lights. Okay. Jyotishamapita Jyotihi Tamasah Paramuchyate. Very interesting word. Tamasaha Param. What is tamas here? Tamas here means ignorance. Maya. What is Maya? The power of reality unmanifest is known by the term Maya. When the power of reality unmanifest is what? Is said to be ignorance. So there's no real ignorance. Okay. And this ignorance is nothing but power of reality. Power of reality unmanifest is ignorance. Manifest is knowledge. And what is the source of the power of reality? same consciousness. Therefore, the powerful reality is beyond, distinct from the power. Beyond distinct means it is superior to the power. Isn't it? I always give the same old example. The heat doesn't exist independent of the heat, fire. So fire is the source of the heat. Fire is the source of light. So also the power of the knowing is the power. No, power of knowing is the nature of reality. Swarupameva Shaktihi. The nature is the, very nature is the power here. We say power, power. Power and nature is the one and the same. Isn't it? Knowing is the nature. Why does it know? Knowing is its Swarupam. What is it? It is endowed with the power. We say all the time, sun is endowed with the capacity to illumine. So illumining is what? The nature of the sun. Similarly here, knowing is the power of reality. Means knowing is the Swarupam. And this power remains manifest and unmanifest. Therefore, tamasaha para means it is the very source of the power. Tamasaha param. Reality is the source of the power. Therefore, it is superior to the power. Because power does not exist independently outside of the reality. Is it clear why param? Why it is superior? Because there's no power which can exist independently outside of the reality. Therefore, tamasaha param. People will say beyond ignorance. Beyond ignorance means don't go on, there's an ignorance on standpoint and don't go after that. Literal translation is what? Beyond ignorance. Beyond ignorance means distinct from ignorance. Distinct from ignorance means what? The source of the power. Is it clear? Yeah. Tamasav para, it is said to be the source of the power. Therefore, it is superior to the power. It is distinct from power. The source of power is distinct from the power, but not distant from the power. Like the fire is distinct from this burning capacity, but it is not distant from the burning capacity. It's very nature. Tamasaha paramuchyate. Next. Jnanam jeyam jnanagamyam. Jnanam jeyam jnanagamyam. Now, it's very interesting. Jnanam, the knowledge of any object in the world, knowledge of anything and everything is what? Consciousness. The pure knowledge. Reality, any knowledge is like every wave is water. Any piece of knowledge of anything is nothing but reality. Knowledge of anything is reality. Okay? Jnanam. Because you know, knowledge means we say cognition, isn't it? So knowledge of any object. Knowledge of the object. Knowledge of anything, material forms, names and functions. Knowledge is a cognition. Cognition means they always, knowledge involves two factors. I repeatedly have been telling you this. One is vrittihi, thought, and consciousness. Thought, consciousness is one indivisible whole, you know that. Thought rises, thought resolves. Thoughts keep on flowing. And there's a time all these thoughts remain resolved. When all the thoughts remain resolved, it is deep sleep state. Thoughts rise and thoughts keep flowing. So thought, so what is the table? Table is means the table knowledge is. Table, how can you say there's table? There is a table when you say it existence of a given object presupposes the knowledge of the given object. You cannot say table is without knowing there is, without knowing the table, isn't it? Table is means table existence presupposes table knowledge. Chair existence presupposes chair knowledge. Light existence presupposes light knowledge. So any object, anything and everything enjoys existence presupposes the knowledge of that object. Existence presupposes knowledge. Isn't it? Therefore, what is knowledge? The knowledge of the, you see the table outside means, really speaking, you are seeing the table in the mind. Knowledge lies in the mind only. Table, chair, or anything, any object for that matter. Any piece of knowledge, any piece of information you have, is it's all in the form of cognitions only. And the cognition is nothing but two factors. One is a thought. A given thought should rise. So where does the thought exist? Where does the thought rise? Where does the thought resolve? Thought cannot exist independently by itself. Thought is a subtlest matter. The consciousness is always there, doesn't come and go. Therefore, in the presence of consciousness, thoughts rise, thoughts exist, and thoughts resolve. So every cognition involves two factors like thought and consciousness. So thought by itself cannot even exist. So cognition means manifestation of knowledge. When the thought rises, consciousness becomes manifest. There is a manifestation of consciousness is cognition or knowledge. So for consciousness to become manifest, what do you need? Thought you need. So consciousness is dependent on thought for its manifestation. Thought is dependent on consciousness for its very existence. Therefore, which is dependent and which is independent? Consciousness is not dependent on the thought, whereas the thought is dependent on consciousness. Therefore, every piece of knowledge is what? Consciousness. That is why in India, any knowledge is what? Saraswati Devi. That is why even rubbish information is expression. Even rubbish newspaper comes out. What is a newspaper? It may be unwanted, unnecessary rubbish news. Still, it is printed in the form of words, isn't it? There's a syntax, the sentences, words are there. And every word printed in the paper, doesn't matter what is the content. Every word is what? Word is an expression of knowledge in the form of thought. And what is thought? Cognition. Manifestation of knowledge. The source of manifestation, any word is expression of manifestation of knowledge. And the source of manifestation is truth for us, Bhagavan. That is why any information is Saraswati. That is why we can never walk on newspapers also. Even though it is all in the newspaper, we cannot walk on it because Jnanam, Saraswati. You got it? That is why Jnanam is that consciousness is not manifest knowledge, but every piece of manifest knowledge is consciousness. Jnanam, the next word is what? Jnayam. Jnayam. Jnayam means it is this consciousness which is to be ultimately known. Ultimately, what is to be discovered by the mind? The mind is capable of knowing. Mind is said to be antahkaranam, internal instrument of knowledge. So the mind is capable of knowing things. through sense organs, mind coming in contact with the external world of objects through sense organs, mind really gathers, mind is capable of knowing. The knowledge of so many things happen. But this mind, the knowledge of the desire for knowledge and the knowledge in the mind will never resolve. So what is that finally the mind has to arrive at? Is jnayam. It is the source of the mind. Source of the mind. That which is to be finally arrived at by the mind ultimately is jnayam. And arriving at which mind itself will resolve. Mind will resolve for good. Is it clear? For jnayam. Jnanam jnayam. That's the ultimate goal. Jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam. Now, one more thing he says. Not only jnanam jnayam, the knowledge is Brahma, Brahmatma. What is to be known also is this Brahma ultimately. Jnanagamyam. Is there any possibility of attaining this reality? The only way you can arrive at the reality is what? Knowing it. Knowing the reality is arriving at the reality. Jnanagamyam, that which has to be arrived at only in terms of knowing. It has to be arrived at only through knowledge. Isn't it? That's why Bhagavan is always a fact to be understood. Reality has to be arrived at only through knowledge, only in terms of knowledge. Therefore, jnana gamyam, arival ariyappada vendiyathu parambarul. Arival ariyappada vendiyathu. That which has to be attained through knowledge. Jnana gamyam. There's no other way. Jnanam geyam jnanagamyam. Beautiful word. All the three words are very nice words. Jnanam jnanagamyam jnanagamyam. See, gamyam is a potential passive participle. That which can be reached. Gacchati gamyam can be reached, can be arrived. Jnana gamya means jnanena eva gamyam. That which has to be, which can be arrived at only through knowledge. Physically, you cannot plan. Let me run towards my dad and sit on his lap. That is not possible. Okay. If it has to be arrived at only through knowledge, reality, it means you have, it's only cognitive process. It involves a cognitive process. The reality has to be only arrived at through knowledge means how, where should I arrive at it? Where can I discover reality? Hridi sarvasya vishtitam. Again, don't go and search elsewhere. Sarvasya hridi vishtitam. Bhagavan, not at all partial, every mind, in everyone's mind. Sarvasya means in everyone's mind. Hridi. Hridi means in the mind of every being. Vishtitam. Reality remains available for recognition in everyone's mind. Sarvasya hridi vishtitam. So vishtitam means present. Kutra present. Where is it present? Where it is not present. See, it is time-wise limitless means it is always there. Spatially limitless means it is everywhere there. Object-wise limitless means it is in everything. But still, where is it available for recognition? It is always, everywhere. It's in everything. But I'm not able to recognize it. Yes, it will not be available for recognition as an object because it is not an object. It is the subtlest. It is very you. Therefore, you have to claim it as yourself. To claim it as yourself, you have to see where is it available for recognition. It is available for recognition. It is present in the mind of every being as the very truth of I. The very content of I. Sarvasya hridi vishtitam. Is it clear? If you search for, unless otherwise, if you search for this reality, elsewhere, other than your mind, your search will be endless. Search will never come to an end. The search will come to an end only if you search for the reality in right place, isn't it? And not as an object. You, the seeker, are the sought. Therefore, the seeker and the sought happen to be one and the same. Something to be claimed as yourself. Therefore, it is made very clear. Sarvasya hridi vishtitam. It is present in the minds of all the people. Anybody can claim it. Everybody is supposed to claim it as one's own self. Sarvasya hridi vishtitam. Like space is there, present in every pot. Inside and outside of the pot, space is. Similarly, inside and outside of the entire being of everyone, everybody, reality in the form of pure consciousness is. So it is available for recognition in terms of its nature of, in the form of the consciousness, as pure consciousness, as the very truth of I in one's own mind. Sarvasya hridi vishtitam. Nice, beautiful verse. In the mind of hridi means, the word hrid literally means heart. Heart implies antahkarana, mind. In the mind also where, it's very interesting to say. In Taittiriya Upanishad, in Upanishads, first what Upanishad says, Gita also says. So there all the Upanishads state the same thing. Yo vedanihi tanguhayam parame vyoman. Guhayam nihitam. In the cave of mind is available for recognition. Same thing. Sarvasya hridi vishtitam. In the heart also, where is it? Many thoughts constitute the mind, isn't it? So many thoughts. Leave all the thoughts pertaining to object. Only one thought which cannot be included in the object is what? I thought, isn't it? The first person singular pronoun I, the pronoun used to denote you, which cannot be included in the objects. And search for that, see that thought, take that I cognition, see what it is. You will see the truth of I, nothing but pure consciousness. It's available for recognition only in the mind, though it is all pervasive. Okay, next verse.
Jyotishamapi tajyotihi tamasah paramuchyate jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtitam.
Next verse. So all the final question, Arjuna's final question is answered now.
Iti kshetram tatha jnanam jnayam choktam samasatah. Iti kshetram tatha jnanam jnayam choktam samasatah madbhaktaye tadvijnaya madbhavayopapadyate.
இதி க்ஷேத்ரம் ததா ஞானம் ஜேயம் சோக்தம் சமாசதஹ மத்பக்தயே தத்விஜ்ஞாய மத்பாவாயோபபத்யதே. இதி க்ஷேத்ரம் ததா ஞானம் ஜேயம் சோக்தம் சமாசதஹ மத்பக்தயே தத்விஜ்ஞாய மத்பாவாயோபபத்யதே. இதி க்ஷேத்ரம் ததா ஞானம் ஜேயம் சோக்தம் சமாசதஹ மத்பக்தயே தத்விஜ்ஞாய மத்பாவாயோபபத்யதே. So, we have to understand now, let us remember the word Kshetrajna again. We know the reality is of the nature of pure not knowing. Therefore, it is implied by the term Jnanam, pure consciousness. And the consciousness, the reality is all pervasive. So, consciousness is all pervasive. And the same consciousness, how the all-pervasive space looked at from the standpoint of a given part is said to be part space. This all-pervasive consciousness from the standpoint of an individual human being, the consciousness obtaining in the body, mind, sense complex. The consciousness obtaining in the body, mind, sense complex of an individual. Consciousness is known as what? Kshetrajnaha, Jivatma. So from the standpoint of an individual body, mind, sense complex, consciousness is known by an expression, Jivatma, Jivaha, Kshetrajnaha. And the same consciousness as the truth associated with the entire Jagat is known as Paramatma. Therefore, Kshetrajna alone is said to be a reality which is to be known. Okay. Here Krishna says in this verse, iti. Now having discussed the nature of reality, Bhagavan says here in this verse, iti kshetram tatha jnanam jnayam cha. Now Arjuna, it has been made very clear what is kshetram, you have understood. What is jnanam, you understood. And what is to be known, jnayam, means that which is to be known by all the people, by all the minds, ultimately to free oneself from bondage is what? This Brahma. The jnayam is Brahma. Reality, Brahma. It is this reality Brahma which is what? Kshetrajnaha. Brahman alone is said to be Kshetrajnaha. From the standpoint of the body, mind, sense complex of an individual. So Krishna says now, Kshetrajna is only a qualification attributed to the same consciousness. Jivatma, Jivaha. There's no Jiva, there's no Ishvara other than only reality Brahma. Brahma, the reality implied by the term Brahman or Atma is neither the Jiva nor Ishvara. Not even Ishvara. If you ask who is Jiva, Jiva is nothing but Brahma. What about Ishvara? Ishvara is nothing but Brahma. Ishvara is Brahma, truth. Jiva is Brahma essentially. Two different qualifications are attributed to the Brahman only from the standpoint of what? The whole Jagat. The Jagat, the standpoint of Jagat reality is given the title of Ishvara. The standpoint of an individual body reality is given the name Kshetrajnaha, Jiva. There's no difference. Reality is one. It is indivisible. It is sparkless whole. So already we have seen Avibhaktam. Now it is said here, Krishna says, Arjuna, Uktam, Samasataha Uktam. Samasataha means briefly. Samasataha is an adverb. Briefly, Uktam, it has been taught. What has been taught briefly? All the three have been taught. Whatever you asked, you wanted to know what is Kshetram. Kshetram has been taught. You wanted to know Jnanam. Jnanam has been taught. You wanted to know Jnayam. Now Jnayam also has been taught. Jnayam is yourself. You are the one to be, you have to be discovered by yourself. So you are the Kshetram, Kshetram has been taught, Jnanam has been taught, Jnayam also has been taught. Iti Kshetram Tata Jnanam Jnayam Cha Uktam Samasataha. Even though Krishna has taught elaborately here, he says briefly it has been taught. Okay? Which means Krishna, in Krishna's understanding, what has been taught only brief teaching. You all must have fallen listening. Oh my God, too elaborate you may be feeling. But Krishna says, Samasataha Uktam. It has been, all these three factors have been taught to you briefly. Samasataha Uktam. Now you can understand simple language. Uktam, past, passive, participle, isn't it? What has Uktam? So Jnanam, Jnayam, Kshetram. All the three have been really taught, discussed. Samasataha briefly. And he says, Yetad vijnaya madbhavaya upapadyate. Now, madbhaktaha, very important word, okay? Madbhaktaha. Madbhaktaha is a compound word. Mama bhaktaha, two different words. Mama bhaktaha, two different words. When you make a compound, madbhaktaha. En bhaktan, ennudaya bhaktan. Isn't it? My devotee, when you say madbhaktaha, you break it, mama bhaktaha. Arjuna, my devotee, who is my devotee? Please make it point. Devotee means the one who is committed totally to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth is bhakta, according to Shastra. We have our own concept of bhakta also. Whoever goes to temple is bhakta, we think. Of course, bhakta will go to temple every day. Otherwise, even he doesn't go to temple also, he'll be praying at home every day. It may not be practical, sometimes because of difficulties, people may not go to temples every day. But whenever possible, they go. Whoever goes to temple is not a bhakta, but the bhakta will definitely be praying to Bhagavan all the time. But simply praying to Bhagavan, worshipping Bhagavan does not make a bhaktaha totally. What makes a person a real bhakta with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge? I mean, I want to know who Bhagavan is. I want to discover who Bhagavan is. And a person who wants to discover Bhagavan and he has no choice. He will discover Bhagavan in terms of its nature, the very essential nature is one's own self. Bhagavan has to be discovered in the form of reality as one's own self. You can never discover Bhagavan elsewhere. When a person becomes committed to the pursuit of this knowledge of truth that is Bhagavan, then he is bhaktaha. Total commitment is only for Bhagavan. I'm living this life for discovering Bhagavan. The purushartha nischeha. Commitment to the pursuit of jnanam. Makes a person a real bhakta. And he, Krishna says, madbhaktaha. The person who is totally committed to me is the devotee. Okay, madbhaktaha. What does he do? Etad vijnaya. Etad vijnaya means having known these three. If a person clearly understands what is Kshetram, who is Kshetrajnaha, what is Jnanam, if a person has a clear understanding of these three, Etad Vijnaya, having known these three, then what happens? Madbhavaya Upapadyate. Madbhavaya Upapadyate. Upapadyate means he becomes eligible. If a person understands these three, Jnanam, Jnayam, Kshetram, Kshetrajnam. Okay? Who is Kshetrajna? What is Jnanam? What is Kshetram? The person understands this. So having known this, Etad Vijnaya, see Jnatva Vijnaya. Because of the prefix, we are using Lebanta. Jnatva, Etad Jnatva, having understood this. Etad Vijnaya, having known this. These three, my devotee, the person who is totally committed to me, Upapadyate means becomes eligible. Eligible for what? Madbhavaya. Madbhava means to be me, to become one with me. Madbhavaya means to claim his identity with me, to attain my own nature, to become one with me. This person becomes eligible. Madbhavaya Upapadyate. He attains the eligibility to be Bhagavan. See, you are already Bhagavan. Whether you know or you do not know, you are already Bhagavan. Shastram repeatedly declares this, okay? There's a big bang, big Vedanta Dindimaha. The big drum, okay, Vedanta is all the time making noise. You are Bhagavan, you are Bhagavan, you are Bhagavan. But you feel very shy. Oh my God, how can I be Bhagavan? You feel very shy. You are Bhagavan means not with the heavy weight and all that. You are essentially Bhagavan. And the only thing is you need, it's a fact to be understood. It is not something to be believed. If you believe, it's a problem. If you believe it, my God, it's the biggest problem. You should not simply believe it. You don't need to disbelieve it. Because Shastram says, no, I don't believe. If you don't believe, again, it's another problem. If you don't believe also, it's a problem. You simply believe also, it's a problem. When a Shastram says, Shastra, we accept Shastram as the Pramanam, so we accept the fact. If you say, if the fact means how it has to be, what does it mean? It's a fact to be understood. It's a fact to be understood. You are Bhagavan means what? You are the truth, that's all. Yes, you are the truth essentially. What about is my body, my mind? Yes, they're all body, mind, sense complex. You have earned it by your own karma to exhaust your punya papams. They have been, I tell you, nothing exists in the world outside of the order. That is why everything in this creation exists within the realm of the order. You got this physical body, you got this mind, you got the sense organs, you have enough to suffer, get afflicted, to go through, to pay. Bhagavan makes us pay correctly. To settle accounts with Bhagavan, we have got all the body, mind, sense complex. And the punyam is what? You're able to be exposed to the teaching. So what Krishna says, Madbhavaya Upapadyate. So a human being becomes eligible to discover the Bhagavan, obtaining as one's own self, thereby to remain Bhagavan, to be one's own self. Madbhavaya means what? To attain my nature means for you just to be yourself. Becoming Bhagavan, being one with Bhagavan means being oneself. One's own self. Becoming Bhagavan means what? Being your own self. Just being yourself. Just to be yourself. To be with yourself. To be yourself. To attain Bhagavan. To become one with Bhagavan. What do you need? You need eligibility. that eligibility is possible when you understand these three. Madbhavaya upapadyate. The person becomes fit, eligible, capable of being oneself. Being with me, attaining my nature. When a person understands this difference, what is jnanam is discussed here. What is jnayam? What is kshetram? Who is kshetranyaha? You understand this, you become qualified to attain me. Is it clear? Any questions? I'm stopping the class here. Any questions?
I have one philosophical question, Swaminiji.
Yeah.
Swaminiji, Gita seems to like expound Sankhya philosophy more rather than Advaita, isn't it? Like Prakruti and Purusha.
No.
There
no.
is no...
Okay.
Because there is no way for us to say or prove that there is Prakruti without Purusha. There is no way. It happens all in consciousness. So there is no way to show them two separately. It's all in consciousness. So I don't know. Like how would like...
See, okay. You finished it? Let me hear your doubt first.
Yeah, I finished. That's what it looks like. It's like Gita is talking about more of Prakruti and Purusha, like Dvaita rather than Advaita.
Okay, let me clarify you. Because I had the habit of interrupting because I get anxiety to answer. And Radhaji always complains that I let the doubt people ask complete the questions. So I want to wait for your complete question to be completed. See, Shastram talks about the Prakriti and Purusha. Okay? But Shastram in Sankhya, there's a problem. For them, they see it as two. No. Please make it very clear. Prakriti is one. Prakriti means the Gita just introduces, that's all. Talks about it. Why does Gita talk? To negate Sankhya philosophy. Because Prakriti is not looked upon as an independent reality. Whereas they for them, it's Pradhanam is important in Sankhya. In Advaita Vedanta, Prakriti is not unreal. Prakriti is not real also. Prakriti is the whole matter is equated to consciousness. Because it is not, does not have independent existence. Please make it a point. Clarify it. Purusha and Prakriti are two words. Purushaha implies consciousness. Prakriti implies matter. In Advaita Vedanta, we don't say they are one. Please make remember. Prakriti and Purusha are not one. Because Prakriti is of the nature of inertness. Purusha is of the nature of consciousness. They're diagonally of two different natures. They're not one. Are they two then? This is very important. This is where we Advaitam comes. Are they two? If they are not one, yes, Prakriti is of the nature of inertness. And it is of subject to change. Constantly subject to change. And it does not have independent existence. Okay? Now, Purusha is of the nature of consciousness. Therefore, they are not two. They are not one. They are not one. If they are not one, are they two then? No. They are not two also. Na dvaitam. Ekam na. They are not ekam. Not one. Are they two then? Na dvaitam. Not two. Na two is what? Na dvaitam. That's why advaitam. Why they are not two? They are two orders of the same reality. Consciousness is satyam. Prakriti is mithya. Mithya means what? It is as good as non-existent. It is not non-existent. It is as good as non-existent. Why? It does not have independent reality existence of its own at all. If there is no consciousness, the Prakriti will be non-existent. It does not have independent existence at all. Therefore, the Prakriti is absolutely dependent on consciousness for its existence. But this very existence, it is different on consciousness. And consciousness is different on prakriti for its manifestation, not for existence. So in the standpoint of existence, independent existence of consciousness, we say consciousness is not subject to change also. Therefore, consciousness is satyam, matter is mithya. Therefore, mithya is has no independent existence, therefore it is as good as the effect. In the standpoint of the matter, we also say consciousness is as good as the cause. Then just as effect is non-different from the cause, matter is non-different from consciousness. Therefore, Advaitam. Because of the words Purusha and Prakriti, we should not mistake it as Sankhya. Not Sankhya. You see, the words are used in Sankhya philosophy also, Purusha and Prakriti. They call it Pradhanam also. We also use all the terms. In Bhagavatam, we say all the words are used. Pradhanam, Prakriti, Maya, Avyaktam, Avyakriti. So many words are used to mean the matter. But consciousness and matter are not one. Definitely not one. Because they are two different natures. At the same time, they are not two also. They are two orders of same reality. Because matter is dependent. Consciousness is independent. Consciousness alone is satyam. Matter is mithya. Mithya is that which is neither real nor unreal. It is as though real.
Thank you, Swami. That's great.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnasya Purnamadayam Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.